Welcome to On Spec, where you'll hear stories that bring you closer to the globe. This is your host, Fari Banawa. In many countries, minor offenders are being released from prison to avoid the spread of COVID-19. In the United States, there are over 2 million people incarcerated. This is more than any other country in the world, according to news reports. Virus outbreaks in prison are happening across the country. Courts are deciding who stays in prison and who gets to leave. Journalist Oscar Durand spoke with one man incarcerated in the state of Michigan who has found a way to cope despite the grim reality of prison life.
People in prison are a very vulnerable population. They're unable to extricate themselves from that situation, and they will become trapped, basically helpless, other than to practice the hygiene aspect of it. But social distancing is virtually impossible in here because of overcrowded conditions in prisons throughout America and mass incarceration.
That's Efren Paredes Jr. He's incarcerated serving a juvenile life without parole sentence for robbery and murder. Since his arrest, when Efren was only 15, he has claimed his innocence. That was more than 31 years ago.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Efren,
a prisoner at the Michigan Department of Corrections, Lakeland facility. If you feel you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact GTL customer.
A colleague and friend of mine, Elise Blenner-Hassett, has been documenting stories of juveniles serving life without parole for years and knows Efren very well. She told me about Efren's case and how his resentencing hearing has been delayed for over a year. Efren and his family are having a hard time because of this. I wanted to know the situation of incarcerated people during this pandemic, and she introduced us over the phone.
I'm currently at the Lakeland Correctional Facility. It's located in Coldwater, Michigan, which is in the southern part of Michigan. It's a level 2 facility, which means it's kind of a medium custody where they have a variety of people, you know, serving time here, you know, whether it's a few years all the way, you know, up to lifers. And this is happens to be the prison that has the most prisoners serving life sentences in the state of Michigan. And last I knew, there were over 600 people here serving life sentences. There's a large elderly population here. And because of all that, it's kind of a laid back prison. You know, not a lot goes on here.
If you don't know anyone in prison, it can be very easy to dismiss the needs of someone like Efren in times like this. I get it. But people who are incarcerated are also sons, brothers, fathers, husbands. In the country that incarcerates more people than anywhere in the world, the majority of people in prison are there for crimes of poverty, the collateral damage in a system that profits off of a structural racial inequality. Not protecting people from the virus in a place where social distancing is impossible is a potential death sentence.
It's literally impossible to get away, create, you know, that type of space between people 6 feet. When you're living with a person who's, you're on a bunk bed and that person's less than 2 feet away from you, you know, throughout the day. You also have the dining hall situation where people are sitting less than 2 feet apart, 4 people at a table, probably 100 people at one time inside that area. 1,300 people at a prison filing in and out of that space 3 times a day. On March 31st, which is just a few days ago, at 3 in the morning, 4 officers entered the area that I was living in, and they pulled one of the prisoners out of the dorm and didn't tell us why at the moment. We later found out that that they had reason to suspect that he had possibly contracted COVID-19. He had the symptoms, and therefore they gave him a test for the disease and placed him in solitary confinement, awaiting the outcome of the results. They took the other seven of us, me included, and they moved us to a quarantine unit, which is another housing unit which has been designated for people who are believed to have been in contact with someone who is infected with COVID-19. That night, you know, it was a very restless night. At one point, you know, when I was able to sleep, you know, I woke up in a complete sweat. I felt pressure in my chest. You know, it was just a lot of worry, you know, wondering what this would mean, how I would deal with it, you know, if my body could handle it. And, you know, the following day, I realized that a lot of that was anxiety. The physiological responses that I was having was just the enormous stress.
Thankfully, the results came back, and they came back as negative.
So, you know, with the waiting, you know, was the most grueling part of that, because just not knowing, you know, the unknowns and seeing everything that's been going on and how it's been impacting people was tough. It was a stark reminder that even though I was able to make it through their experience, there's going to be many days of having to deal with this virus inside the facility, and try to manage to navigate through that without contracting it. Daily, there are people that are testing positive and being sent to the quarantine unit, awaiting test results. So it's circulating. It's rapidly it's propagating itself all throughout the prison.
At Lakeland Correctional Facility, people like Efren continued eating in crowded dining halls until April 24th. So far, 11 prisoners have died from COVID-19.
I'm unable to remove myself from this situation, so I have to exist in it. I have to try to survive in it. I try not to be fearful or become overly worried about it, because I know that for our immune system, stress and worry can be really bad on our immune system. And more than ever, I need to have my immune system operating at its full capacity. This space is a space that I cannot leave. I am forced to deal with it. So I've resigned myself to the fact that I understand I can't leave. So what I have to do is do my best to try to shield myself.
Many of us are struggling with staying at home. But for incarcerated people, lockdown is normal. Being alone and isolated is familiar for Efren. He has been sent to solitary confinement several times throughout his prison sentence.
You know, because solitary confinement, you're alone. You're completely alone in that space. There are no other people walking around in your room. There's no one for you to talk to. There is no phone usage. So you're locked in that space 23 hours a day, three walls and a solid door, that the only thing you can see through the solid door is into the hallway. You may have a window that you can see outside. Many times those windows do not open. So you're just in this confined space with nothing but your thoughts. And for a person that's new to that experience, it's very difficult to adjust to that if you've never been in it. And the reason, you know, is that people, we're social beings, and solitary confinement is designed to disrupt that process. It's designed to punish people and to make them feel psychologically and emotionally very vulnerable and defeated. It's designed to destroy any sense of power that they feel they have over anything in their life. So, if you haven't prepared for something like that, we have people that have been there for years. The longer you're there, the more difficult it becomes. But for me, the way that I found to deal with that space was to practice my meditation, to work on my breathing exercises, to create a schedule for myself, to find things to do, maybe work out, during a certain part of the day, take naps during a certain part of the day, read or write, during part of the day, the majority of the day oftentimes, but constantly keep your mind active, because what solitary confinement does to you is over time it begins to slow the brain waves, your brain activity, and if you don't do anything, people can mentally atrophy during that experience and start slowly pulling away from the person that they were and become a shell of that person. If you have a faith that you practice, it's good to practice that faith. If you believe in a higher power, it's good to call on that higher power. One of the things that I try to remind people is, in that space, if you think about it as an incubator for growth, you can optimize your resilience and figure out a way to move forward constructively. You can empower yourself and be okay. But you have to constantly work at doing those things. If you just sit in solitary confinement and you begin to despair and don't find a way to pull yourself out of that abyss, you can lose yourself.
Do you think something positive can come out of this?
I think that in every situation is different. We're all different beings, and we all have different experiences, different lived experiences. And it's what we choose, how we choose to live our life, that determines the outcome. There are things that we have control over, and there are things that we don't have control over. Those things that we do have control over are the things that we have to focus on. Because if you try to focus, if you focus on the things that you don't have control over, you begin to have difficulty coping. So you can't, you just cannot focus on that stuff, and that's one of the things that I stress to people all the time. So if you want a positive outcome to come out of it, it starts with our perception of the experience that we're having, how we're looking at it. That's going to determine where things go.
According to the Marshall Project, a nonprofit news organization covering the United States criminal justice system, there has been close to 10,000 cases of COVID-19 among prisoners and 4,000 among prison staff in the United States. Last week, Lakeland was the first prison to do mass testing for all of its 1,400 prisoners. 50% of them tested positive. Efren tested negative.
Thanks for listening to On Spec. To learn more about Efren's case, go to 4efren.com. That's number 4efrn.com. You can also find him on Facebook as Free Efren. That is FreeEfren. You can read from Efren's blog on our reporter's notebook at onspec.news. This story was edited by me and produced by Oscar Durand. Sound design by Oscar Durand and Elise Blanner-Hassett. The music is by Chris Zabriskie. We're bringing you stories from around the globe about our shared experiences during the pandemic. Next week, we'll take you from Mexico to Poland and Hong Kong to ask how COVID-19 is affecting our mental health. Tune in.